Game done!
Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew John.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, no goal kicker. Brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's Ultimate Sports Show. On every afternoon, Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Oh, hello everyone. Welcome to the Rush Hour. Another beautiful day. Enjoy it while it lasts. Plenty of topics we're going to talk about, Bernie, on today's show. One is that it's just me and you today.
Again.
Ebo's left us.
What's
2 days.
Is it something we... Do we smell?
I don't know.
Have we said something wrong? Or
I'm not sure.
I don't know. People just keep leaving us.
Yep.
They're leaving us.
Ebo lasted 2 days and then he didn't want to come back for a third.
Amos
Gill for 1 day and then he's had enough.
Blew the
budget.
We
probably asked Ebo to leave, to be honest, because he was bringing himself in as other names and calling other people his name. And
right.
He was really confused. So he's just gone away to a concentration camp and he's just going to come back.
Don't better. Say camp.
Now, of course, they've been filling in for Andrew Newton-Jarman.
I've sort of forgotten
missing
that fact.
Oh, no.
Well, I've forgotten about him.
Well, my intel too, it's been our biggest rating week of the year as well. But
I've seen those numbers.
We won't go there. But
no.
I think we've tracked down Jars, have we?
Oh,
well,
really?
Kind of.
G'day,
we've got
everyone.
His daughter,
oh, it's
Riley.
Oh,
how
Riles.
Are you,
Riles? Riley. Yeah.
The only Jarman you need, guys.
Well, that's right. Now, Riles, what the hell is going on with the old man?
Well, for starters, you may as well take his name out of the intro.
Oh, he's not coming back.
Look, he's acting like he's on his last legs. Like, he is drama queen 101. I walked past, Riley, love, can you take this to the kitchen? And I said, Dad, you've got legs, use them. Like, seriously.
But that was before he was sick. What about now he's sick?
I don't even know where he is.
Well, I heard him talking to Bernie yesterday. He was on loudspeaker. It was like he was as fresh as a daisy. So is he just putting this on? What? Didn't need a week off?
You know what he's like. He likes to take a bit more time, you know, rest, recover.
Well, I hope he's got a certificate.
Drag it on. He wants everyone to miss him.
Tell him it's coming out of his holidays this week, so he's only got 1 week to go. That'll get him back quick, smart.
No, I honestly don't know where he is. I haven't seen him.
So how's Maz? How's the lovely wife treating him? Is she putting up with this, or is she just going, nut, handle it yourself?
Oh, probably ready for him to get out the house.
Same with the dogs?
I'm ready to move out.
Again.
Oh,
hey, pass on our best wishes, though. We do, we sort of care about him, do
yeah,
we?
No,
you couldn't say that with a straight face, Bern. Hey, so he's also called that he's going to be out for Dead Set Legends this week. Is that true?
No.
No, he has.
Oh.
Apparently he's already out of Dead Set Legends.
That's the rumour.
Wow, well, that's news to me. Do you need a fill-in?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, Riley, that's a bloody good idea. But also, any inside information in what's happening with his coaching with Williston? Has he been up to Williston during this week and is he going to coach on Saturday?
No, well, as far as I know, he's been home for trainings. Not sure about game day, so he's walking a fine line here.
How can you predict you're going to be sick still in 2 days?
Do you know who you're talking about?
Yeah, I do, but does our boss know about this? He's predicting he's still going to be sick in 2 days when he's already been sick for about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Okay. There's big question marks here.
Hey, Riles, thanks for joining us. And when you see your old man, just we're still in at Franklin Street if he remembers, all right?
I'll let him know.
There you go, Riley Jarman.
Well, Blue, time to talk some footy. And what about the D's at the moment? Absolutely flying, sitting at the top of the ladder, 9-0, and come up against Adelaide this Saturday afternoon. And we've got the Melbourne coach, Simon Goodwin. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Goody.
Yeah, afternoon, Ben, Bluey. Good to be on.
Hey, what's it like sitting up that high on the ladder? Because the D's haven't been up there for a while.
It's been uncomfortable at patches there, Ben. You haven't looked down, but it's a good position for the club to be in, mate. It's been a long time coming and some foundations that have been laid over many years. So it's good to see some rewards coming to the players and also our supporters.
And yourself too, Goody, because I'm sure you would have been under some sort of pressure leading into this season. Did you see, I know it's a long season, you're only coming up to 10 rounds in, but did you see this coming over the pre-season?
Yeah, I guess after 2019, where we, we're 2018 where we made the prelim, and then 2019 where we had a really poor season. We really had to lay some foundations to get back playing to a really high level. And the back end of last year, we worked really hard on our defensive side of our game. You know, I think we won 6 of 9 on the road at the back end of the year, and just missed out in finals by half a game. So there were some really good signs towards the back end of last year, and through the summer, the players really wanted to make a significant change and get back to playing finals footy. And they've been brilliant in building a culture that we think is sustainable, and we've built a game style that we think is really hard to play against. So it's been a work in progress, but we're getting the rewards that we've wanted.
Yeah, speaking of that pressure, whether it's warranted or not, your name was thrown around as being one of the most under-pressure coaches in the competition. How do you just block that out and move on and just stick to the process?
It's a good question, Ben. I think, every coach's career, you're going to go through it at some stage. And, my time was now. But what I did have was a lot of belief in the players that we had been working with over a number of years and the people that have been involved in the footy club. And, I was going to live and die by some of my philosophies and my belief in our playing group. And so really I just had to back myself in, back the team in, back the club in, and let the process take care of itself. And fortunately enough, over the last 9 weeks, we've been able to get some results and put ourselves in a pretty good position.
Absolutely. You're obviously flying. But as a coach, I'm sure you'd be striving to get better. There's no such thing as a perfect game. You know, what would be one of the main things you're working on at the moment with your team?
Oh, look, we want to be a forward half team. There's no question about that. And our clearance work and centre bounce work probably hasn't been to the level that we would like in recent times. And it's an area of the game that we know we've got some players in there that are of high quality and should be better in that area. So it's an area of the game that we think we need to improve on to really take our game to another level. And that's what we've been working on over the last few weeks.
Got some new coaches into the club this year. Went after Adam Uze as the midfield coach and Choco Williams as well. Their influence?
Significant influence for both those guys. Uze brings a lot of experience from an assistant coach and a strategy perspective. And he's been looking after our offensive side of the game and our stoppage and contest work. So he's brought a good balance to our group. And Choco's just brought an energy and a passion towards developing people and players. And, he's a quality footy person. He's got enormous care. And he brings an energy to a building that's really palpable. And people are gravitated towards him. Our younger players are thriving under his tutelage.
What about Big Maxi Gorn, Goody? He's the leader of the club now. What's he like? We see him on the field having another great season, but what's he like behind the scenes with the group?
He's just got a great connection, Louis, with all people, really, whether they're, 45 board members right through to the, to the property steward or, our younger players, and he can build that connection with players. So he's been enormous. I think, Byrne would know him from his early days. He's a little bit brash and, a bit of a jokester, but he's got a great combination now of humour along with really driving a culture that is built around respect. And, he's been at the forefront of our improvement culturally.
Hey, it's a different sort of pressure now. You're sitting on top and undefeated. You're now the hunted. That scary word that gets thrown around of expectation, this group seems to be dealing with it very well, but it's something in the past that Melbourne haven't dealt with. How do you keep them on track?
Yeah, we've spoken about it a lot, Ben, especially in recent weeks and even at the start of the year, that we wanted expectation to be a real privilege and to work ourselves into a position where we could operate in that space, not only operate, really thrive. And this is another one of those challenges, is that sitting at 9-0, so if everyone's waiting for you or when you're going to lose or, how you're going to keep this run going. And that's expectations that are great for our group to go through. So we want to keep thriving. And the great thing about the group at the moment is every week we rock up, it's the same way of playing. And that's been a real pleasure to coach.
Goody, comes up every year, the holding the ball rule. It's in the news again. What's your take on it?
I think it's pretty simple. I think pride needs to stay, but it's really about, do you get rid of the ball in the right manner? Do you handball the ball or do you kick the ball? And if that's not the case, then pay the free kick. And I think it really stands out when it's obvious. Just pay the real obvious ones. And if not, just let it go. I thought our game against Carlton was umpired in the right way. There was 20 holding the balls on the day. And a lot of them would have been paid for incorrect disposal. So I think it's a pretty simple fix and just a better adjudication or, looking at the interpretation and making sure it's really adhered to.
you got a bit of a problem this weekend with selection. You got Ben Brown, Tommy McDonald's on fire, Bailey Fritch is playing well, Wiedemann come in last week, and I believe Luke Jackson will be available this week, who hasn't put a foot wrong and is the second ruck as well. What do you do?
Yeah, it's a tough one, Ben. We're still working through what that looks like. Jacko's got a few things that he's got to tick off before game time to really make sure he's 100% ready to go. So, you know, if he gets through everything, he'll definitely play, and then it would come down to a selection decision. But, you know, what we do know is it's really competitive for spots. We've got four talls that are playing some really exceptional footy, and it's just finding the right combination against the opposition we're playing.
What about the Crows, Goody? Improvement since last year? You would have been tracking their progress?
Yeah, been highly impressed, Bluey. You know, I think they've certainly won some games early, but even in their losses in the last few weeks, I reckon they've been outstanding the way they played. You know, I thought their game against the Eagles, it was hotly contested. And for 3.5 quarters, I thought they were outstanding in the contest and really dominated the forward half game. So we know the challenge we're coming up against, and we know what Adelaide Oval Challenge presents, and we're looking forward to it.
Hey, Jake Lever and Stephen May, two recruits. It took them a little while to gel. We know Jake Lever was out with a knee and Stephen May had his issues early, but they are unbelievable at the moment.
Yeah, they're brilliant. Their ability to beat their man and also intercept and provide opportunities for us offensively is really strong. So I think we've had Tomlinson that's been in the team as well, but now we've got, you know, Harrison Petty that's sort of taken up that role. He just enables those guys to go about their business. So the back six or seven have formed a great relationship and connection and providing a really strong asset for us.
Now, Goody, I've been working with Bernie for the last 2 years. So he's been retired for 2 years. The year after he retired, you finished 17th and then 9 last year. And he's saying, well, they just couldn't do it without me.
Did I say that?
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either.
Okay, there we go.
Mate, I'm actually speechless just listening to that, to be honest. It was fair to say we're starting to decline as Bernie was walking out the door.
Hey, was Bernie in your rooms a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, look, Bern, you know, past players bob their heads in every now and then, but Bern certainly bobbed his head in. We like to have a beer after every game with the coaches and the players, and yeah, Bern rolls in three quarters pissed and then just grabs all the coaches' beers and starts giving us a lecture on how the game should be played. And I thought, this is a bit rich for a guy that hasn't been back at the club for 2 years.
Hey, I got invited into the rooms, Nathan Jones's 300th, and then all of a sudden, I actually don't know how I ended up in the coach's room, but yeah, I did make a bit of a speech. Hopefully they took it all in good.
It was very inspiring, Ben. We've been in good form since.
Yeah, well, exactly. That might be the answer.
And Goody, so you were coaching him for a number of years there as well, and then you were under Ruse while he was at the club. Any danger of getting him to do some upper body stuff as well in the weight room?
Just
the
harsh.
Spin little arms.
This is another story that a lot of people don't know. Back in Adelaide days, they did a few tests around whether guys could put on weight through in the weights room, and we did a saliva test to see what sort of the body produces. And Bern, didn't matter how many weights he did, his saliva said that he will not put on any weight, and that's been proven.
That's been proven.
There's no point
in me doing weights. It was me and Brett Burton were the two.
And Scott Stevens.
Oh, that's right.
The three guys.
No, that's the thing. We just didn't have to do weights because we couldn't put on weight. Hey, we are business partners, me and Goody. We went into a bit of a three-way venture, Goody and the old man, and we bought a heap of sheep. And, well, one person made a lot of money out of them. Have you ever seen any money, Goody?
Haven't seen any yet, Ben, but when I am coming to Adelaide, I'm going to drive up the stands, check in on my sheep and see how they're tracking. They're about 14 years old at the moment. So they should be nice and fat, ready for sale.
We all sat around and we committed to buying sheep. Dad bought them, sold them, took the money, kept the money. Nothing. We've seen nothing.
Hey, Goody, you were Burns' mentor early days at the club, Adelaide Footy Club. Are you happy with your work there? How he's turned out?
Yeah, look, he's obviously progressed really strongly. He's come into obviously some radio, some part-time coaching when he feels like it, and obviously in the sheep business. But no, he's He's going really well. Actually, a funny story from when he was mentoring me. He said, come up and play a game of cricket for me at Stansbury. So we had a Saturday morning session with Neil Craig, and we did 14 Ks on the Saturday, and we took off from training, and we drove 3.5 hours to play cricket. Well, I lasted 2 balls, and Tim and Vince fired me and gave me out.
Like it was, gave him out.
It's one of the worst trips I've been on. Yeah.
And Goody's meant to do the speech to the first year players as captain, and we didn't quite get back in time.
It was a full disaster.
Thanks for joining us, Goody. Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure watching the D's go about it this year. Good luck Saturday afternoon, and we'll be watching closely.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your support.
Good on you, Goody.
Simon Goodwin, coach of the Melbourne Demons, and my ex-mentor.
Yes, done a great job.
There's something that made me smile over the weekend. Now, Port Adelaide, obviously pretty poor. They didn't do their best work.
No.
However, there was one Port fan who was Sean. He was snapped at the field on the hill having a snack of his own brought from home, tight ass styles. He brought a box of Weet-Bix and was eating them raw dog.
Weet-Bix?
A raw dog Weet-Bix. If it wasn't enough for his team to choke, he thought, I'll give it a go too with a dry Weet-Bix.
Dry Weet-Bix.
Just in solidarity with the team, I'll just cough this up.
Not dipping anything. Not dipping it into milk or maybe his beer or...
Not even dry. A West End
thing. How would you...
That's like one of those dares or challenges you do. Try and eat a dry Weet-Bix. You can't do it.
And he didn't have a family with him that I could see, because we all know dads get a bit tight at the footy. There's a guy who works over on the other side of the building here who looks after the breakfast show, who is notorious to bring hot dogs in a thermos.
Not flag.
Okay. Not flag.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he brings the hot dog buns, the hot dogs in the thermos, the sauce and mustard. So his poor kids have to have the homemade hot dogs.
Oh, wow. What?
My dad was a big man who brought, he made us have chip packets at the cinema, the real McCoy chip pack, not even Smith's.
Oh, no.
And then you'd be crinkling and crunching too loud. And I'd always call it the sound of poverty, because people would look over you like, you don't have popcorn, mate.
You didn't buy that here. That's you brought that yourself.
It made me think, as I was there, other than, you know, the tired asses are bringing their own, just strange things you see at the football.
I've seen a few animals released onto the ground.
A few sprung to mind.
Was there one in the footy?
Yeah, there was an elephant on the ground at a North Melbourne game. It was there for the kids, right? And they pulled it on the side, and I've just got the vision up. I'm telling you right now, and there's a kid. Have a look at this, Blue. I know it's not great because we're on radio. But they were giving rides on the sideline while the game was on, and the handler obviously hadn't trained his elephant too well because it took off. off with a kid on the back, Kato. With a kid, he's trying to tap it on the leg. I don't know what tap it on the leg meant, but it looked like to me that meant go faster, because his thing just took off. In the end, he's let go of it. The kid's on the back.
Scorching the
turf.
He
just run across the ground.
You take that over Claude the Crow, though, one. Eh?
Anything over Claude the Crow.
Claude doesn't get going like that.
No. But very, very funny. There's a couple others spring to mind.
There's been a few pigs, hasn't there? There was beefy. So Ian Botham had put on a couple of kilos, and someone released the pig with Botham at the Gabba. And there was another pig, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Tony Lockett.
Yeah,
had plugger.
There's a pig on the ground. There is a pig at full forward.
I love that. That's a famous commentary.
At full forward.
A pig at full forward.
I mean, anything to get that audio on the air. We've started with Weet-Bix.
That's right.
With a pig.
And then Greg Chappell was going through a horror run. I reckon he made 6 or 7 ducks in a row.
Oh, that's
and
a
someone
long.
Brought a duck to the ground and released it onto the outfield.
Didn't
so
they can hey, Melbourne supporters, they're renowned for bringing their cheese platters. And when Melbourne weren't going so well, there'd be vision of like people come to the footy, not even facing the footy, just facing each other, having a bloody cheese platter with their champagne. I don't know how you get a cheese knife in. That'd be dangerous, wouldn't it?
Good point.
Pick
good
you up point. At the gate with that. But yeah, very funny.
Triple M's Rush Hour.
Rockcliffe!
From the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Rockcliffe's got one.
Please welcome Tom Rockcliffe.
Now he's got his name in the paper.
Yep.
Oh, it's time to have Get Rocky on. He's had a bloody rough month,
has he ever.
Knees are stuffed, and then he got DVT, so we thought we'd check in. Rocky, how are you travelling, buddy?
Tell you what, it's been tough, but coming on and trying to listen to you and make understanding of what you're talking about.
I like the remix.
Yeah, that's good.
Well,
yeah,
that's good. Going really number one.
How are you travelling, mate?
Yeah, I'm going all right. I'm chipping away. I think I've said it a few times, but I count myself as one of the lucky ones. So slowly starting to get moving, starting to get some strength back in the knees or the quads to get the knees going. But, yeah, it'll be a slow process.
Ebo Rocky here.
Jazz!
Hang on. Oreo, it's worse than Jazz. He's talking to himself.
We're global burn.
I do like to talk about myself in the third person, but not this often.
He puts pressure on you, I know that.
He did. Yeah, he made me nervous.
He said you were nervous.
All right.
Still try again. From those concussions. Yeah.
that was his test.
Jesus. All right.
His name's Rocky.
Let's start again.
Oh, we'll include all this. It's good.
I know you will. This is the problem, isn't it? This is the problem. All right, Rocky. It's Evo here, mate. All right. Well, I was going to go serious then, but we'll see. So, what's the road back look like, mate? You've obviously had a tough month. What's it looking like?
Let's go. He's laughing.
He's dropped the phone.
I just picked myself up off the floor.
There's a start.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a month. It's only been 2 weeks since I did the knee, so a fair bit's happened in that 2 weeks. So I'm still really early stages of the knee rehab, first and foremost, but what life looks like further down the track, we're not really sure at the moment. You obviously got to be pretty careful when you're on blood thinners. Your chances of internal bleeding go up a fair bit, and obviously if you cut yourself or something like that, it's quite hard to stop the flow of bleeding being on blood thinners. So the short term is to rehab the knees. And then after that, I think we can get training. We can start to run and stuff, but I can't really join into footy drills because the risk is just too high of getting a knock. So depending how long I'm on the blood thinners for, it's sort of been indicated 3 to 6 months from there. So, yeah, it could be a little bit of a trek back this season, but we'll just wait and see how it plays out.
Can you do any upper body stuff at the moment, like some rower? No, why are you laughing, Blue? It's a serious question.
The first time you would have done it.
You can do the rower or some calf raises as well. That was a serious question, and you blokes just taking the piss out of me. At least I called him Rocky.
What do you think, Ebo?
Well, I've tried to avoid the gym for 13 years. they're trying to get me in there to do upper body at the moment, and I just keep laughing at them. So we're at a bit of a standoff at the moment, but I think I can. I spoke to the doctor this morning about doing weights, and he said just to progress light and then start to move from there. So I'll pick up the 5 kilo dumbbell, start with a bit of bench press, and move up from there. But yeah, I can't do a great deal at the moment.
Hey, an all-time low for me was when I was in my 13th season and I was having to do extra upper bodies with the first and second year players. They need a bit of leadership in there. I brought the first and second year guys down. Go on.
You brought the averages down.
No, I'm going to move straight on from that. Hey, have you been in the reviews? And are you concerned about, I know the flat track bully word gets thrown around a little bit, but
you?
Until you beat a team in the top 4 or 5, yeah, it's going to continue. And it's all around contested footy and starts. Your starts have been a concern.
Yeah, I think that's the most concerning thing. I think we've shown that when our contested footy is good, we're good. And we've just got to find different ways to stay in games when we're not getting the contested footy our way. But you touched on it then. Our first quarters have been a little bit alarming for us. I think looking back at the season so far, we haven't started that well in games. And yeah, I've snuck back into the reviews this week. And yeah, it wasn't a great one to come back for, I must admit, this morning. But it was good because I think it identified a few things for us to work on, and moving forward, there's some definitely takeaways from that. So we've just got to look at different ways, and we've got to make sure that we continue to convert when we go inside 50. I think at the end of the third quarter, we had 8 or 9 entries for no scores, which you've just got to take your opportunities against good teams, particularly the Bulldogs. And I don't think it's fair at the moment, but as you said, the tag will probably stay with us until we can knock off a top team. And we think we're more than capable of. The last 18 months have shown that, we believe. So we've just got to try and play our best footy in those big moments.
You reckon that the Bulldogs were that good, or would Port just have a poor night?
Oh, I think it was a combination of both. I think Western Bulldogs are back to their winning ways. I think they've only lost 1 or 2 games, maybe 1 game this season. So they sit second on the ladder for a reason. and we just didn't play consistently well for long enough. I think our start to the game wasn't good enough, and then we dropped away and contested footy, and in the last bit of the last quarter, I think we got back to 7 or 8 points, and then they wrestled momentum back. So to be fair, we go down by 17 points and everyone's calling us flat track bullies against one of the best teams in the competition. I don't think that's really fair. You've got to give the Western Bulldogs credit. They sit second on the ladder for a reason, and we learned some lessons out of that, and we've got to take them and own them and move forward.
When you're talking those lessons, and you refer to the inside 50 kicks and stuff, what are you dissecting there? Like, what are they talking about in terms of, because it felt very Dicko dependent again when in the past they've sort of started moving away from that. How did you guys dissect that?
I think we've got to just look at different avenues, and we've got to look to halve contests a little bit more. I think we had 5 stoppages maybe in our forward 50, and we kicked 4 goals, 1 from them, wow. From memory. So our ability to halve the contest there is really important, and I think we ranked 17th for forward 50 stoppages, where last year we ranked 2nd. So we're just not getting stoppages in there enough. So there might be a tweak or two to our game plan and the way we enter 50 to make sure that we can halve those contests and keep the footy in there. And if we're so good at stoppages in there, why wouldn't we want to keep it in there and force a stoppage to give ourselves an opportunity?
Rock, do you need a run with player or an accountable mid? Because I saw Bontempelli get off the chain on the weekend, and in your losses, McGluggage was very good, and Kelly against West Coast. Do you need someone that can be that accountable mid through the midfield?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we've got him. I think Willem Drew, if you go back and watch the game closely, went to Bontempelli in the second quarter and did an outstanding job to curb his influence and actually had an impact himself. So I think he's probably the guy that is good enough to do it, or not good enough, but smart enough to be able to shut a player down, but then also find his own footy and influence the game. So he's only starting out his career, but I think he would be the earmarked one, I reckon, moving forward. If someone gets off the chain, he has the ability to curb their influence. He's tough inside. He creates a great contest, and he also can influence the game offensively. So I think he played a pretty important role for that momentum change. Ollie was outstanding in that as well, but I think Drew is probably the one.
Beautiful. Rocky, appreciate your time, mate. I'm still recovering from Ebo's first question, but we love having you on the Rush Hour, and look after yourself.
Well, you know how we all feel now, Bluey, when you open your mouth.
That clean belly, bill of health.
Hey, give me one of those famous giant beers.
It's that time again on the Rush Hour to have a beer with Bluey.
I love to have a beer with Bluey.
Clean belly, bill of health, Dyson. Get $100 off your first order.
Yeah.
Hey, Junior.
Oh, Bluey, well, it is. It's that time of the week, and you haven't actually made a mistake for a while. It's been sort of three or 4 days.
No.
So that's good.
No, Burn, I've made 3 mistakes in 5 years. All right, Jars makes 3 a minute, and we don't replay his. But
that,
anyway,
that's being true. Sack of batting coaches.
Now, what have you got for us today? Because they've been very entertaining lately. I've enjoyed them.
All right. Well, I was listening to Ruin Dits this morning, and guess who was on? Tim Vince.
No, he was on. Not. Yeah. He's not doing that again. He's meant to be our show.
Yeah, we haven't had him on for about a month. So what's he? Has he jumped ship? Has he?
No, he has. Well, that's it. We're not getting him on now. we'll move on. I know plenty of farmers we can get on.
Well, he was talking about life on the farm, Bern, and he was talking about mouse plagues.
Oh, yes.
And there's a mouse plague at the moment. I'm not sure where.
Everywhere.
Is it?
Yeah, country Victoria especially.
All right. And he's talking about how about 20 years ago there was a serious mouse plague, and he had to, you know, tuck his pants into his socks so they didn't run up his leg and all that sort of stuff. They were about a foot deep when he went into the shed.
Prepared shows would have had a little grab of that, but that's okay. I've got him late.
But it reminded me of the story of when I bought a brand new car. So at this stage, I'd worked my way into the Australian cricket team, and the funds were coming in nicely.
You were flying. You can be honest, Blue. It's beer with Bluey. Don't hold back.
Well, I was going okay for a youngster. Flying. So I thought, well, I'll just treat myself to a new car. So I actually bought it at an auction at a golf day in Sydney.
It would have been like a Holden Commodore or something pretty standard.
Well,
Astra.
It was It was a BMW.
Relatable, Greg Blewett.
Of course it was a Beamer.
It was a BMW, and I rorted the system a little bit as well because I bought it at a charity event so I could claim a certain percentage back on...
Can you do that?
That is ultimate.
I don't know.
No, hang on, hang on.
I did it.
You're a tax rort. You can't do that.
Well, part of the purchase was a donation to the charity.
Oh, was it? So what part? The wheels?
So I've got this brand new car, right? And I'm just about to go on the Ashes trip to England in 97, and I'm going to be away for about 4 months. Now...
Just collecting ducks.
Now, one of your work colleagues, James Brayshaw, was playing cricket in South Australia at the time, and he was living in the hills.
Yes.
And he was driving in an absolute shit heap. So he came up with the idea of, listen, Bluey, why don't I look after what? He said, what are you doing with your car while you're away? And I said, well, it's just going to be parked in my garage, not, you know, accruing the case. Yep. And he said, well, why don't I... look after it for you, and I can take it for a spin. I won't abuse it. I'll just take it for a spin every now and then and look after it. And I thought, that's not a bad idea. So he lived in Balhanna.
What part of that was not a bad idea? Because I'm thinking bad idea straight up.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, battery going flat and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Like, just keep it going. So he was living in Balhanna at the time in that beautiful Adelaide Hills, and he'd take it for a run every now and then he'd park it in his neighbour's shed. Yep. And then he must have like left it there for 3 or 4 days at a time and whatever. Anyway, I'd speak to him every now and then and he'd say, you know, it's going beautifully. Jeez, I love that car. So I reckon he was driving it more than probably what he said.
I love that car.
But then, every day.
Yeah. But then he went quiet for a while. Like there was about a 3 week period where I couldn't get him. And eventually he gets back to me. He goes, Bluey, I've got some bad news.
No.
And he said, I went to start it one day and it just wasn't even clicking over. I checked the battery. That was fine. And then he eventually had to get the RAA out and check it out. And he said, you know what's happened? You've parked the car. The motor's warm. The rats have got in underneath the bonnet and they've eaten half of my friggin' all the wiring.
Oh, no.
They've eaten all my wiring. And then he showed me underneath the bonnet and they'd almost eaten half the thickness of the bonnet. Like, I can't believe what these guys can eat. So $10,000 later.
$10,000.
And you reckon there was any contribution from old Jimmy Boy?
No.
Of course there would have been. He would have given you something.
No. So I've got a brand new car, lent it to Bray. He's stuffed it. The rats have eaten my motor. And then I've got the 10K bill just as I'm getting home. So that was worth it, wasn't it?
Well, did you try and claim the 10K bill for charity as well? Donation.
Batten down the hatches. Hold on to your hats. On Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Juz.
You've got beef with me.
It's time for Bernie's Beef.
For country living homes, anything from transportable and lightweight homes to brick veneer and luxury constructions.
Righto, here we go. Evo, I'm sure you've heard all about Bernie's Beef. So every Tuesday, he's got someone in his crosshairs. So this is your first live one.
I'm excited.
So,
I'm excited.
What do you got, Beef? What do you got, Bern? I called you Beef.
He's done it, Jazz.
What do you got, Beef?
Change my Beef. Get rid of the audio. I've just switched it. He's called me. What'd you call me, Beef?
No, Beef. What'd you call him, Beef? What's your Bern?
What's your Bern, Beef?
I tell you, Jazz rubs off. Even though we were trying to forget about him sick at home, he just can't help it.
Let's keep it slick.
Yeah, slick. Keep it slick. Okay, right. Well, you didn't get around me like Jazz gets around me, but you did call me Beef. So anyway, how are you going anyway, Daniel? this week, and it annoyed me over the weekend, and there's a certain smell to the Richmond Football Club that's really starting to shit me off at the moment. Oof. And there's been a few off-field things and some things happening, but we all know the MCG's their home ground, okay?
Yes.
And it is for other teams as well, Melbourne, Collingwood, Carlton, I think Hawthorn's their home game as well. And every club that has the MCG as their home ground has to play a home game at Marvel.
Yes.
So he's exactly the same as everyone else.
Yes.
And, well, on Friday pregame, I thought Timo Hardwick understood this and he was getting right around it.
Well, I'm not too disappointed. The roof's going to be closed. It's going to be nice and warm in the coach's box. So
We don't really care where we play, to be honest. I can understand from our fans, I'd love to be at the G, as would my family, but the fact of the matter is that the game's at the Marvel Stadium, so we're happy to play anytime, anywhere.
Anytime, very happy. Anywhere.
Wow. Very happy.
It'll be nice and warm in the box. His family loves going there. And then they turn up and play the Giants, who should have beaten them. Yeah. It was the last kick of the night that saved them. So after a narrow escape, a crowd, he has this to say.
Look, the truth of the matter is you can play Richmond games here, but they don't come. So if you want big crowds, play our home games at the G. Pretty simple solution for mine.
Any idea why they're not coming? Anyone send you emails on that?
Mate, I hate coming here. Probably shouldn't say that. But
why is that?
Well, the MCG has got soul. It's got Richmond people there. Our people don't come here. Plain and simple.
Wow, wee. You know what I like to call that? A change of f***ing tune. It's 24 hours later, Bluey. What a change. It's a bad look for their footy club. It's a bad look for the AFL. The AFL own Marvel, and he's just clipped them, giving them a backhander. It's a bad look for opposition supporters. There was no crowd there. I reckon it was off the back of Richmond saying they didn't want to play there. But it just reeks of big-headedness and arrogance to me, and I've had a f***ing guts full of Richmond.
Hey. Oh, he's thrown the mic! He's thrown the microphone!
Stop winning flags, you pricks!
Oh, shit. Oh. Beef for country living homes, anything from transportable and lightweight homes to brick veneer and luxury construction. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
There's no German.
Hey, it's been a pretty quick week, hasn't it? Pretty smooth week, you'd say, Bluey, for the last day.
I think when you're having a good time, Bern, and I'm not saying that's just because Jazz isn't here. It tends to fly, doesn't it?
He'll be listening. You know he listens for mentions.
Yeah.
He loves
me. Well, we've helped him out this show. Jeez, it's been all about him.
Yeah, I don't know whether they've been too complimentary, his mentions today. But anyway, May 20, National Rescue Dog Day today, that's a nice national day, but a World Bee Day as well, Louis. So yes, World Bee Day, so I'm not sure how you get around the bees.
Very important,
but,
bees.
Honey, very important, yes. Harvey likes to have a bit of honey on his Weet-Bix in the morning.
Good point.
Until he throws half of it down the back of the lounge. But it's easy to get out before he does that. Yeah, it turns into cement, Weet-Bix. It is the hardest thing to get out of anything.
You got
to
get onto it straight away,
Bern. Anyways, is this a beef? No, it's not a beef. This is facts. I forgot. Hey, birthday. Some famous birthdays today. Have a look at this one. 1944.
Oh, yes.
The great Joe Cocker.
Joey Cocker.
Oh, yes. What a legend. One of the greatest, and not R&B in the new sense of the word, but back in the day, rhythm and blues, one of the greatest ever be around.
Yeah, good. Incredible. He's got some good ones. Hey, also, 2 years later, in 1946, the great Cher.
Just shout out to Greg Blewett for finding that clip on his phone rather quickly. One would suggest it was bookmarked, but thanks, Blue.
No, that's someone ringing him. That's his ringtone.
That's a solid, solid Triple M song.
Just send it. Get it back to just that. That's a good ringtone.
When I think of Cher, I just think of her in that outfit. You know, she wore.
Is it that? The leathery sort
of
thing.
With the.
The red.
Very
top,
brief.
Hey, Catherine, put this on.
Brief.
No.
Bought one of them on Gumtree. About fifth hand. Boys, now this will enlighten you.
Mm-hmm.
After a male octopus breeds with a female, he develops a condition.
Mm.
That condition being dementia. Dementia.
Really?
He then lives the rest of his life confused with apparently no knowledge of previous events.
Well, how good would that be?
That would be unbelievable.
Imagine that. Oh.
And here we see the German octopus flurrying around the beach of Henley.
Well, that would be...
Are we octopuses?
What's the three Ds? Deny. So they've got it sussed. They'd believe themselves, wouldn't they? That's like, no.
We've got a bit of octopus in us, I think, here at Triple M. And that is your week of May the 20th.
Yes, Bern. Solid.
Yes, Bern. Have a good Friday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.